Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
We are officially talking sports with the 12th man, almost done with the month of August.
Making it do what it do,
baby. One of the most expensive months in Andre's world right now. But other than that.
Hey, the main thing, Dre, is to be thankful that you have it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely thankful. I just had to say that it's one of the most expensive months. For Dre, if you will. But other than that, you know, it's been good. It's been exciting.
Pocket change,
for sure. But, you know, again, I just had to throw that out there. It's Leo season. You know, a lot of love. Before we get the show started and check in with you guys, I want to send a special prayer out to Gary, his dad, obviously in the ICU. So we pray for our brother. He's not going to be joining us tonight. I think we have Curtis joining. But we definitely do not want to be remiss if we did not acknowledge that, too. So prayers out for Gary, your dad. I hope everything is going good in the ICU for sure. But before we
Absolutely.
Do that, we always use this as therapy, if you will. So let's check in with the fellows. We're going to start with my fellow Atlantean, JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I got me some golf in this weekend, and I was telling y'all beforehand for the listeners join. I went to that Braves Yankees game, boy. It was crazy. Like, there was a lot of Reds fans when I went a couple weeks ago, but it was Yankees fans out the wazoo. It was a good competitive atmosphere. It was a good game. It was fun. I was a good 10. Glad I didn't have a root interest, so I could just enjoy the game as is. But it's crazy how those Yankees fans travel, bro. They was out there in droves.
It's like the Knicks. It's like the Cowboys fans. Everyone, they just come represent for sure. It's no shade. It's just, you know, obviously that's like. They're a winning team, so that's what you're going to expect for sure. Definitely hoping for a better showing. You know, hopefully the Braves will be ready next time. I'm still hurting that Mike Soroka is still hurt, but hopefully all the moves that the Braves have made, we're feeling pretty confident. And obviously the Yankees are playing well, too, so that's definitely a measuring stick for us, too. So we'll see how we can turn the second season around, if you will, too. Without further ado, let's check it with Rob. Again, looks like he's representing some Dodgers gear, if you will. Oh, JQ, what did you wear to the Yankees game, by the way? I forgot to ask you. What jersey were you sporting?
Oh, no, I just had on my striper stuff.
Okay, I got you. You said that you stripers. Okay, good deal. All right, Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, doing great. Yeah, the same experience last month. I went to the Yankees game here in St. Pete, and same thing. You know, half the dome or whatever you want to call that place over there in St. Pete. But
it's a dump.
That place was a dump. But anyway, half of it was Yankees fans. Or probably
it's not that bad.
Oh, Yankees fans.
It's not that bad.
So, but they are talking about a new baseball stadium in Tampa. So, you know, we'll see. And they're looking at putting it in downtown Tampa or Ybor City area. So, be much needed. I think the two worst baseball stadiums are Oakland and the one here in St. Pete.
Yeah, it's not easy to get to. That ride will get to it.
I don't think it's that bad, Rob, as you're saying, too, but it's all good, man.
Man, come on.
Next
time, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to a couple more games before the season is over. And I'll take a picture of some of the stuff we're talking about so you'll see how much of a dump it is.
You know, I'm glad you announced the sad news about Gary. You know, I feel like family, and they took me in after the bad news I got and the bad turn. that I took. But I'm hanging in there. And I'm so glad to try to represent Gary and the West Coast and be on this show. I am so glad I did this chance to do that.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Good deal. We appreciate you too, Curtis, as always, stepping in, and we got Luz running in too. So before we get the party started, gentlemen, we have a lot of topics to discuss, and we're going to make sure that we're good too as well too. So we're going to make sure JQ has got his earbuds in. We're just going over, I'm getting out the numbers real quickly as he gets up and running. It's calling the show. The number is always the same number. You know it by heart, but if you don't, it's always 424-243-9519. Jake, you give me a thumbs up whenever you can hear us too, whenever you're on. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with 12 Man, Quinn and 12 Man Sports. You will find us as well. We've been having a great week of fantasy drafts. We've been talking junk. Finally excited that JQ finally got a pretty high pick, if you will. So everything is good in this world. So we'll see how that turns around, even though apparently Yahoo does not like Ohio players or for some reason. I don't know. So we're going to keep this going, if you will, too. It looks like Rob is going to sleep. So we're going to make sure Rob is awake. It's just like that,
well,
man.
I'm all
so,
in, Doc.
It's all good.
All man. In.
All right. Looks like your eyes were kind of like low there, man. So let's have some fun
no,
here.
No, I was looking down.
My pup is excited,
too. No, I'm up. No. I ain't going to pull a gray on the show.
Hey, man, everyone has done it, man. It's all good, man. You know, so it's all good. So let's talk about the NFL predictions. Let's talk about the NFL predictions, if you will. NFL predictions right out the gate. So obviously,
everyone
Rob, throw this down. Shut up.
Wait, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Do the NFL predictions.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, I don't think a whole lot has changed based on what you saw in the preseason, but you know, it's interesting. The two best teams in each conference, in my opinion, are still the two best teams that ended up in the conference championship games. And I know that's not how it's going to end up. So, I mean, you know, trying to figure out what that wild card is going to be. I mean, I look at the AFC right now, and I think the Chiefs and the Bills are the two best teams. But do I think those same two teams are going to be in the AFC championship game? No, you know something is going to go haywire. So, who was those other teams out there that could probably, you know, throw a wrench? I mean, right now I'm going to go and say the Chiefs and the Bills with the Chiefs coming out on top again. But I think the Bills are looking really strong, too. When you look at the improvements they've even made on their defensive line and offensive lines as well, to me they even got even stronger in the trenches. And, you know, Josh Allen is looking like a real, you know, Pro Bowler for the next 10 years at least. And so you look at what they're doing, and of course, I mean, I don't even have to talk about the Chiefs. We know the Chiefs are the Chiefs, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But who's going to be those other teams? Because, you know, it's going to be somebody else. And who is that somebody else? You look at the AFC North. Is it the Cleveland Browns, right? You know, I think the Cleveland Browns could be that somebody else. I mean, I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be the type of team that can really run the ball down your throat and play good defense.
My surprise team last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the Cleveland Browns really could be that surprise football team, or it could be the Baltimore Ravens, right? You know, they could be another one of those teams. But outside of that, you know, maybe the Miami Dolphins. Those could be the three teams that you look at that could be a surprise. Then when you look at the NFC, same thing. I mean, on paper, it looks like the Bucs and the Packers are the two best teams. And they were the same two teams that played in the NFC Championship game, and we know that's not going to happen. At what point does Tom Brady start to show age, right? Is it this year? Is it next year? When it's got to happen at some point, right? So when is that going to happen? Well, who are those surprise teams in the NFC? In the NFC, you can look at the whole NFC West almost. You can look at the Seattle team. You can possibly look at the Rams, Matthew Stafford and that defense. Outside chance of Arizona happening. You know, I don't think anybody in the NFC East is going to be a challenge. So, I mean, other than that, the only outside team, if James Winston comes through for the Saints, maybe the Saints could be that one of those outside teams as well. But other than that, it looks like the Packers and the Bucks are the two top teams in the NFC as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because we know how volatile the NFL is, especially when you get to the next where you have two or three teams that make the playoffs, don't make the next year to get replaced by somebody else. But I'm with you. I just don't – I mean, you know, I'm a zeros and ones. I'm a stat kind of person. You ask me, the Chiefs to do it 3 years in a row, that's tough slate. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Cowboys and the Bills back in the day being able to do that. That's tough to ask them to do it again. I really could see it being the Ravens and the Bills. Some flukish happens to Cincinnati, happens to Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go with the Ravens and the Bills. I don't know who I want to pick yet to go to the Super Bowl, but I like those two young quarterbacks as well. And I just feel like it's so hard to do it a third year in a row for the Chiefs. That's a lot to ask. And you look at Tampa Bay, what they did nothing but get better along the way towards the end of last year, and they brought all those dudes back. So unless, you know, Tom Brady just falls off the cliff, that we keep expecting to fall off of, and he won't teeter off yet, you know, it's hard to go against the Bucs. And I don't think it's going to be the Packers. I think that defense is going to catch up to them. They can't stop a nosebleed on defense, especially against the run. I don't know if they're going to get that same kind of walk to the NFC Championship game. I'm looking at one of those teams you talked about, Rob, coming from the NFC West. I just wonder if they're going to beat the hell out of each other all year, if they have anything left. Because the NFC West from top to bottom is rough. I mean, if you go 3-3 in your division, you know, you got to be feeling really good about yourself. There's going to be no easy games in that division. But I think this might be
the best division in football.
It might be. It's from top to bottom. I think it's tough. We didn't even bring up San Francisco and that defense they got, bringing those guys back. It's all depending on, you know, who's going to play quarterback and how efficient can they be. You know, can Garoppolo stay healthy and recapture his magic, or does Trey Lance do his job and just kind of catch lightning in the bottle and take off? So, you know, if I had to say a team, I would probably say Seattle and Tampa in the NFC Championship game. But I'm with you. It's a lot of the same, you know, usual suspects after last year. I have a hard time throwing somebody up over top of that.
Yes. Yeah. In Seattle, the big question mark is going to be that offensive line. You saw last year, first 10 to 12 games, Seattle looked like one of the better teams in the league. And towards the end of the year, man, they could not protect Russell Wilson last year. His stats fell off. He was just getting beat up every game. And he's got the weapons. You know, you look at DK Metcalf and, of course, Tyler Lockett. He's got about three good running backs on that team. But, you know, can they block for those running backs? And can they protect for him? That's going to be the big question for Seattle. But if that offensive line can come together, they could easily be one of the better teams in the league, no doubt about it.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Go ahead, Curtis.
The West is going to be really interesting. That's going to be really good football. And I hope I get a chance to go to some of the games. I'm interested. Denver, I really want to see who wins that job between Locke and Bridgeport.
They want Locke to win that.
This is going to be Locke.
Boy, that's going to be interesting. And I think the other interesting team that I want to see is Pittsburgh going to still be one-dimensional. If they can run the football, and if they can consistently run the football, they're going to do some damage, and they'll be.
Well, they got.
I think
they got Najee Harris.
Yeah.
They got Najee Harris to run the ball. That's going to be good. Perfect fit.
And he turns out, if he can get it done, I never believed in Connor, but maybe they have somebody that can take the beating and take the talent in there. I see the West is going to have something to say about who gets to the Super Bowl. One of those teams in the West is going to play for the championship. I believe that. Sadly, I want to see the Cowboys win that division. That division is winnable for the Cowboys.
What a shocker.
But are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? That's going to be remain to be seen because they can get it.
Wow.
They may not. And that's going
to
be
I like
keep
telling
y'all. Last year y'all kept talking about Dallas. I was like, that Washington has a serious defense. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can hold it together,
Washington,
they can win that division 9-8.
Yeah.
Yeah, Washington's going to – I think they got that division sewn up. Sorry, man.
I think Washington – but the Cowboys, when you look at the roster, you know, the personnel is there. There's no doubt about it. But they still have a lot of question marks. You know, Dak Prescott, you know his health. Is he going to? The personnel is there. It still wouldn't be a surprise if Dallas wins that division. They have the personnel. Mike McCarthy's second year there. Will their defense come through? Washington, we know about their defense, and the Washington front seven is as good as anybody in the league. And if their secondary, you know, comes up to that par with their front seven, then they're going to be one of the top five defenses in the league. And as JQ mentioned, if Fitzpatrick can hold it together. And yeah, they're definitely in it.
Yeah.
And I tell you also, watch out for the Giants, too. I mean, you look at the end of the year last year, defensively,
Sneaky
the Giants are one of the better teams in the league, too. Defensively, offensively, they were still sucking. But, you know, they didn't have Saquon Barkley. They didn't have the weapons. But they did, you know, they're getting Saquon Barkley back. Kenny Galladay, they did pick him up from Detroit. So they gave him a few weapons here. I don't think anybody from this division is a contender for the Super Bowl, but I do think there's not a lot of difference between the Giants, the Redskins, and the Cowboys here. I think any one of those three teams
from
this division. I think the Eagles look to be the worst team in that division, though. I think they're probably out of the four, maybe the only one that doesn't have a chance at winning the division.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We got a lot of question marks, too, because, you know, as you mentioned, both JQ, even you, Curtis, Rob, as far as Seattle, I mean, that seems to be the team to beat. But like we talk about, the Rams made a change of quarterback, you know, having Matthew Stafford. We got to see how he plays because all they needed was a pretty decent quarterback, and Goff was not the answer. Cardinals, you know, obviously you got the essence of Kyler Murray, so we'll see how he performs. And then obviously the 49ers.
Yeah.
Again, who's going to be the quarterback? Garoppolo is definitely the guy, supposedly. They're not going to throw Trey Lance in there. But, you know, obviously we'll see how that plays out with that, too. And then I agree with you guys as far as we talk about the North. I mean, right now it looks like the Chiefs, you got to like the way that Josh Allen's been going with the Bills. And a lot of question marks. You're thinking that it's going to be Tennessee out of the South. You know, there's a dumpster fire with the Texans. Jaguars are kind of young, if you will. And then, you know, just it's interesting, you know, we're looking at, you know, all divisions, too. We'll do a kind of deep dive later, too, because I definitely think that the Steelers are going to have a running game, much to JQ's chagrinment, with having Najee Harris kind of a perfect fit for Pittsburgh, if you will, too. So, you know, again, we'll see how that division looks, too. So we'll kind of dive into predictions, if you will, probably the next couple of weeks. But it's going to be pretty exciting, I think, at least, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Arizona, watching defensively. Arizona made a lot of offseason moves on the defensive side of the football. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they take a big leap defensively to go with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins offensively. The offensive line has gotten better, too. If they can make a big leap defensively, I mean, as we talked about a little while ago, the NFC West could easily be one of the toughest, if not the toughest division from top to bottom in the NFL. When you look at the success that the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks have had over the last few years. And then if Arizona comes up to that level, you got four possible teams that can contend for the playoffs in that division.
Well,
Lou, you feeling happy? Lou, real quick, I'm going to ask what you're feeling happy about is the Jets. You feeling happy about your Jets?
Well, a little bit.
But
I mean, you know,
all right. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to say one thing. I want to say that everybody should be afraid of Arizona. And Arizona.
Why?
Because Arizona is gonna ruin some people's season. Ruin their way to thinking that they're a super team. Arizona's going to break some hearts this year.
I don't know about that.
I think so. There are going to be some teams that got there in the playoffs, including in the West.
All right. I'm putting a note Today's date, the 24th of August, and Arizona's going to break some hearts, said by Curtis. We're going to keep an eye on this statement, if you will, Curtis. So stay tuned. We're going to need you to make this call later on, Curtis. You can come back for that. We'll see. I love it. Bold predictions were coming out. Hey, so Rob, let's talk about the as much as I hate to talk about the Saints. It's all good. Jameis actually played pretty well.
Oh, you know you love him.
What? Anyway, so let's talk about is there a QB competition? Is it pretty much closed right now? So go ahead, Rob.
You know, Sean Payton hasn't admitted it yet, but, you know, I think the world knows that it's pretty much over. And, you know, why you think if he wasn't your starting quarterback, why you take him out after three series last night? And, like, you've seen enough, right? If he wasn't your starting quarterback, you wanted to see more out of him, right? But he took the guy out after three series last night. That all but tells you that he already knows that he's a starting quarterback as well. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to announce it on Taysom Hill's birthday yesterday. I don't know. Waiting to give him a few more days after his birthday maybe before he makes the announcement. But, come on. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see that, you know, you look at both of these preseason games, Jameis Winston was clearly the better quarterback here. And, you know, obviously as a fan, me personally, I don't want to get my hopes up too high. I mean, it was the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? They were 1-15 last year. I mean, do we expect them to be a little bit better this year? Absolutely. But, you know, it still was the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think it's obvious. I mean, Jameis Winston was sharp last night. And then even last week when Taysom Hill started the game, Jameis came in and led the team on 2-touchdown drives. One of them was an impressive 2-minute drill drive where he just was throwing darts down the field. It's something to be excited about. Obviously, you know, I don't want to get overly excited. It's still a preseason, and it still was Jacksonville. I know last week was Baltimore, but it was Baltimore and their second-team defense too. So we just have to wait and see. But obviously, so far, he has been the most impressive of the two. And Taysom is a quarterback.
What I'm saying. Taysom is going to have his packages anyway. He had it when Drew was there. I think he'll still have that role. But I'm with you. Those two throws to Galloway was just Calloway, rather. It was like, wow. Like, those are impressive catches, don't get me wrong. But the ball placement on those two throws, Jameis Winston was never on overall pick. And I know there are some busts that come out as never on overall picks, but he's always had the arm strength. It was always between the ears of would he take a check down instead of trying to throw in a triple coverage to Mike Evans, you know, when he was in Tampa, he just takes a simple play and lives to see another day.
Right.
That's been James' problem. It's not the fact that he can't throw the ball, because he clearly can, and he showed the world again yesterday that he might be missing a little couple screws up top, but that arm talent is most definitely there. He can put it into the window.
Arm talent is there. It's obvious.
It's always been there.
Yeah.
So, I'm not overly surprised. I think Taysom is a gadget quarterback. You're going to run, you know, you're going to run all these tactics for him and it's effective in doses. But to have him be the guy for 60 minutes for 17 games, I don't ever think was really what Sean Payton either wanted. If you give him true serum, he wanted Jameis to come win this job so he could show the locker room that, hey, Taysom is what he's going to be, but Jameis is the guy that we should go with. And I think Jameis went a long way with that the other day. So I'm with you, Rob. I think Jameis won that job. I mean, he had those drives, but those two throws, Taysom can't do that.
No, it was impressive. Like you said, the arm talent is very visible. The ball just flies out of his hand. And I think the hope is that Sean Payton hopefully is the perfect coach for him. And, you know, listening to Jameis, he said the one thing he learned from Drew Brees last year was that you don't have to always be Batman. Sometimes you got to be Bruce Wayne. And so, like you said, sometimes you got to take those check downs and, you know, just being smart with the football, right? And so that's going to be key. But I think to some degree, Sean Payton is quietly excited because he's going to be able to stretch the defense now. He hadn't been able to do that with Drew Brees the last few years, you know. So he's got somebody that can get the ball down the field now. So I think to some degree, you know, he's bringing a whole nother element back into his offense.
Yep.
What you wonder about Jameis, and I've always liked Jameis, but we know Jameis the subject of that bonehead, that stupid ass move, that stupid interception. If you really learn that, then you can keep away from trying to win it on one throw. And if you learn that, you're going to be, he's going to be okay. I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at Haskins, and hope they grew up, and hope they turn into real NFL quarterbacks. Because they got all kind of talent, but they're missing some spaces up there in the football mind. And that's what you want Jameis to do. Jameis, concentrate. Focus.
Intangibles.
Don't mess that up. Don't mess that up. Because momentum in the NFL is everything. When you make that big, bad, bonehead mistake, that's when teams capitalize on your ass and beat you.
You know, we're gonna talk about the, you know, the intangibles as you talked about Curtis, because we're gonna do some grades on some rookie quarterbacks, and we'll talk about that too, because you know everyone, as you know, you spend all of those high draft picks on kind of the next big thing too, and some teams are getting right, some teams are gonna still, you know, keep drafting. You know, we used to make fun of Cleveland for their 20-something quarterbacks; they've always kept drafting, and is Baker the answer? Same thing with the, you know, the Jets. Sorry, Lou. You know, have they finally found the answer, with Zach Wilson? I'm not talking junk. I'm just saying. You know, so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You know, for sure. There's a lot of young talent. We like the Herberts of the world, and we'll see. You know, the Drew Locks. We don't know. There's a lot of question marks, if you will. A lot of quarterbacks that look like Tarzan and play like Jane. You know, so we'll get a quick update as far as that too. A pretty sad note, a promising rookie, Travis Etienne, can possibly miss the season. We'll let you talk about that, Rob. It's kind of interesting from that perspective, too. So go ahead, Rob, with that one.
Yeah, looking at the game last night, it didn't look like to be that serious. But now having that list-ranked, that foot injury, and now out from season, I hate to see that, right? You know, a guy, and obviously can recover from this going into next season, but you know, we all saw Travis Etienne in college, and we saw his versatility. You know, Andre probably saw him a lot more than all of us, you know, watching ACC football. But still, you know, Clemson was a national power. So we all got a good, you know, a good visibility of him. And seeing the kind of versatility he brought to the Cane. Kid from Louisiana, too, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, run it as well. And you look for them to have a nice 1-2 punch. At running back with James Robinson. But, Jacksonville not hurting too bad at the running back position, knowing you have James Robinson still there. But, you know, obviously, everybody in the league likes to have a 1-2 punch at running back right now. So, I mean, it's going to be mostly the James Robinson show. But, you know, you talked about, you know, obviously you just hate to see that, right? And just hope he recovers, be ready for his second season. But you talked about the rookie quarterback situation, and Trevor Lawrence, I tell you, I think the coaching staff, they're a little bit mixed as far as how they're utilizing him right now. And I think they're a little confused, right? When you talk about Darrell Bevell and Urban Meyer, and it just doesn't seem like they have the right plan for him just yet. And you talked about Zach Wilson, and to me, Zach Wilson has been the most impressive out of all of the quarterbacks. And, like 10 for 11 or 9 for 11 or something like that. A couple of touchdown passes. The balls was coming out of his hands quickly. He's processing information quickly. And, I know Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence doesn't look, just doesn't look like they have a scheme for him yet that's designed to fit his talent just yet. I mean, it could definitely come. He's definitely, a generational talent. But as far as early out of the gates, I know we're just talking two preseason games, Zach Wilson looks to be the most impressive so far.
So far.
Very early. I know, you know, obviously Justin Fields has had his moments. I mean, Trey Lance has had like one big play or so. But overall, Zach Wilson looks to be the most impressive so far out of the rookie quarterbacks in my eyes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think the problem is that we have really great Trevor Lawrence. Everybody, like you talked about, had him as this generational talent. They feel like he should be able to fit in these games because he can run, he got an arm, he's got a rocket. I think also in that Jacksonville offensive line is not great, which also made what James Robinson did so much more impressive last year. He run the ball and catch the ball at the backfield from Gardner Minshew. So all the people that drafted James Robinson, hoping he was going to get a better part of that share in our draft, are probably at home like, yes, because they just got a brand new starting quarter running back with no competition in for the rest of the year. Because Carlos Hyde, as much as I love Carlos Hyde, he's not the guy.
He's going to fail.
No, not anymore. But, yeah, Zach Wilson has looked good. I think Justin Fields looked good. I just don't trust Charles Nagy. I think sometimes he puts him and Dalton in the bad situations. When you watch the Bears preseason game, he's had to do a lot of running.
He went way back. Charles Nagy. Y'all heard that? He used to be the pitcher for the Indians?
Not Charles Nagy. Pat Nagy. Yeah, I went back to the Indians.
Pat Nagy. Hold up.
Sorry.
You're good. You're
yeah,
good.
I went way back. Sorry, yeah. That's being old. But, yeah, you know, Trey Lance, think about Trey Lance, you have to remember what he played one game last year. So you're talking about putting him in there and then throwing him out there, even if it's against second and third string, you're still NFL players, and he would come from Vision D school. He played one game last year. So you got to give him a little bit of a break because he just didn't have it. Zach Wilson, to me, is the one I agree because we talked about it, the level of competition in BYU, and then he played the one game against a good team on the road against Coastal Carolina. He didn't really look good. So you come out there. He does have had a little trouble with the offensive line the past couple of years, but he looks the part. So, you know, you got to give the Jets credit for standing sticking with their guns and going to the guy so far that they won. And he, I agree, he looks like the best rookie quarterback to a couple of preseason games.
Yeah. He even drew a lot of praise from Aaron Rodgers, too, which was he even impressed Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers said that's a great thing to say about him, too. But obviously, this field a small sample size, two preseason games.
Right.
Didn't play the whole game, but based on what we see thus far, he looks like the one that's most ready to play. And Darrell Bevell and Urban Meyer is somewhat of a surprising hire too, because Darrell Bevell comes from the West Coast school of things, Urban Meyer comes from the spread of things, and I think they're a little undecided on which direction they want to go, you know, with Trevor Lawrence. To me, the perfect hire for Trevor Lawrence would have been Joe Brady, who's at Carolina, and running that offense. But so I think there's just a little bit confusion in their terminology and the way they like to do things. It just doesn't look like Urban Meyer and Darrell Bevell was the perfect marriage for Trevor Lawrence thus far. Still early though.
So I think what you're seeing there is that Urban Meyer is coming from a college spread system. I think he went into this season knowing or thinking, I can't run that exclusive at the NFL level or get my quarterback killed with all those runs and that read option. So he brought in a West Coast offense guy and said, I need to take a little bit of what you do and a little bit of what I do and try to mix it together so I can get the best of both worlds. And I think that's what you're talking about is they've got to find that good balance of where my plays work in these situations and your plays work in this, and you're throwing all that at a young quarterback, and you get some of the results that you're getting. And plus, Jacksonville still just not a good team. I mean, they spent some money, but they were one of the good teams for a reason. So,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
Curtis?
Yeah, what I wanted to say is what I'm wondering about in Jacksonville, the ownership was just probably trying to sell tickets. You know, you got a big interest in Trevor Lawrence and then Urban Meyer and the old Florida days that he's famous for. And then they had that people down there. All this is business. All this is trying to sell some tickets. And we hope it works. I mean, if they don't win games, who's going to their games? Who's going to waste their time? With the fans. But they, you know, they got something sellable. And so, at first, the stadiums are going to be filled up. And hopefully they put out a good product there to keep the fans in there. I see this as all business with the people they got down there. Trevor Lawrence might be the next coming, and Urban Meyer has to make up for some things he did at the colleges. And this is his way. This is what I see. I see that it's all business in Jacksonville. But they're up against a mountain. They're up against it. And I hope they're aware. They're going to have to be smarter and work harder. And, wow, what a mess.
Putting you on notice, Jacksonville. Anything got, anything got to you, add to that, Lou? Lou's still with us? Okay, cool. All good. Hey, we're going to keep this going, gentlemen. This next story definitely, you know, brings pain to my heart, but, you know, I'm finally able to get over this with the Falcons. And just a little side note, if the Cowboys keep playing that cover three defense, they're going to get lit up, man, because Dan Quinn does not like the blitz, apparently. So, you know, again, if he keeps playing that same shell defense, it's going to be an interesting league or season for the Cowboys in that secondary. Side note. All right. The word on the street was that, for real. And if I'm Robert Alford, because there's some, you know, chatterbutt, if I'm Robert Alford, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I would. There's no way I'm going to sit here and say this, that you were partying at halftime during, you know, that Super Bowl. That's not something that should never see the light of day. If that's the case, I definitely blame Dan Quinn, because there's no way you should be like, you should clean that locker room up, like, yo, this ain't no time to party. Clearly, we know what damn happened. We still got another 30 minutes to play. I mean, you still got two halves. You know, you should have definitely put a kibosh to that. That's just my two cents on that. So that's a disappointing story. And unfortunately, we kind of got what we deserved if we are partying at halftime. So, you know, again, two things that I still blame was Kyle Shanahan not running the ball. Obviously, you know, he was going for the win. If your boy just, if you know, Devontae Freeman doesn't miss that block, that's a whole other conversation. I mean, but still, we shouldn't even be in that situation. So just a bad, bad set of circumstances, if you will. Bad.
Yeah. I think you hit the head, you know, hit the nail on the head with, you know, if that's true with Robert Alford is saying, you got to blame Dan Quinn. I mean, you got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady on the other side of the field right here. You can never celebrate with a lead. I don't care how big it is. You got those two on the other side of the field.
You're
the best
at
what they do. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, you definitely got to point toward the head coach if that story is true. I mean, 28-3 is a nice lead, something to feel good about, but not to celebrate. You got to wait till that game is over before you celebrate when you ain't talking about Belichick and Brady on the other side of the field. So, I mean, that, you know, that just put a bad, you know, shines a bad light on Dan Quinn for that. So, I mean, yeah, But it's Robert Alford, you know.
Yeah.
So it definitely just shines a bad light on the coaching staff and the leadership of that team. And even to some degree, if that's true, you got to put some of that on Matt Ryan, too. You know, a quarterback is a big-time extension of the leadership of the team there, too. So you got to put some of that on over the coaching staff and the quarterback.
That's two
times.
Yeah,
that's the Falcons being Falcons.
Thanks, JQ. Appreciate you. That's two times. Eugene Robinson trying to get something? Nah, there's nothing to say, if you will. But, yeah, and I guess before, yeah, I'll let Curtis chime in, too. I'm sure everyone's going to go around the same thing. But Curtis, what do you got to say on that?
Well, what I want to say, you know, Atlanta, they really should be better than they were. But,
true.
Boy, that's one of the least trustable teams out there. And just when you give up on them, they beat somebody. They're hard to figure out. And yeah, that must go to the coaching. This division, Atlanta could finish second in the division, but they probably won't. They probably won't.
Yeah. You got to go Tampa, Saints, and then the Falcons, unfortunately, because we don't know what the Falcons do, and then we don't know what's going to happen with Carolina. But I'd probably go Tampa, Saints, and then Atlanta, honestly, for our division. We just don't know what's going to happen, honestly. But yeah.
But I tell you what, offensively, the Falcons, I think they have. I think a lot's going to depend on what the Saints get out of Jameis Winston this year. But if you look at the Falcons with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley, and if they get something out of Mike Davis and if the offensive line comes through, I think they have a chance to be one of the better offenses in the league this year,
yeah,
too. So, I mean, on paper, and with the Saints still having a few question marks, Atlanta could possibly contend for the second best team in that division.
Not. They're going to be in the basement. Stop it. Man, that offensive line is not good. They are going to be in the basement. Watch what I say.
We're not going to be in the basement.
I'm not rooting against the Falcons, but I'm looking at what they're putting out there on paper.
I can see your concerns too, JQ. Now the challenge is, we're hoping that, with Arthur Smith, he actually does seem to appreciate and understand like the run game. So we haven't been putting a lot of seeing what's happening in the back. We haven't seen the starters just yet. I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid, JQ. I'm just saying I can see your concerns. So I'm like, we don't know. Now, granted, we're finally taking a page from the Saints and drafting an offensive lineman freaking every year, so just trying to solidify that offensive line. But he took a team in the Titans and made Tyler Sambrell would get, so we're kind of hoping that, I'm not saying that he's got to be the total miracle worker like Helen Keller over here, but at least he kind of realizes that we're going to need to run the ball and at least protect Matt Ryan. And as, Rob said, we do have some weapons. I like Calvin Ridley. I like Kyle Pitts, even though we're still kind of second guessing everything with what happened with our quarterback. But, again, there's some concerns, but like I said, that's why I'm not ready to put them number two, but I don't think they're kind of at the basement either, because at least we have at least an offensive coach that understands how to run the ball and protect Matt Ryan. And Mike Davis is a big dude, man. So we finally have somebody. He's not Derrick Henry, but at least he's going to at least have some balance to our offense and let Matt Ryan not throw 100 tons and get killed, which is terrible. So that's.
But you talk about Carolina. They got DJ Moore. They got Robbie Anderson. They get Christian McCaffrey back. I don't think Carolina's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be bad either, but still. Hey, I think that
Carolina might have a good defensive line.
Sam Darnold. Yeah. But, this is not necessarily what I'm saying. It's still. Yeah, it's all good. I think that runs better than Sam Darnold, though. But, we'll see. For sure.
Watch the rookie from LSU at Carolina, Terrence Marshall. He's been impressive so far. And they're both preseason games. He's got long bounds. So they may have even another weapon there. So, yeah. I think it could be up in the air. Speaking of Devontae Freeman earlier, he signed with the Saints. It looked like he was going to be the third running back. Looked like he might get cut. They got this young kid, Tony Jones Jr. from Notre Dame, showing out at running back.
Wow.
So, yeah, Devontae Freeman might get cut.
Devontae Freeman was done 2 years ago.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I guess you guys have Trevor Siemian, right, for your guys for the Saints, right? Is that correct, Rob?
Yeah.
You guys have him?
He's going to be third or fourth string. I mean, they got Ian Book, too, the rookie from Notre Dame.
Okay.
So,
that's right. He's 55 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Saints are going to keep all four of those quarterbacks because, you use Taysom Hill in that gadget role. So they might keep all four of those quarterbacks.
I was bringing that up is because – and we'll let Curtis jump in here, too, because, obviously the Falcons, to my disappointment, signed Josh Rosen. And it's interesting because we talked about it. This is his fifth team, obviously being drafted by the Cardinals. Probably getting a raw deal next year with Kyle Murray. Then, obviously, he goes to Tampa Bay, Miami, and gets cut by the 49ers. So you wonder about this kid, man, because if Kyle Shanahan is supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, can't get anything out of him, you do wonder about him. And he's just young enough, so you're just kind of hoping, what the hell is wrong with this kid, man? I know everyone talks about him having the hot tub in the room as a college kid, but you know, I'm hoping that, you know, he kind of sort of wakes up. I mean, I wasn't a fan of it, but if you're looking at who's out there, you had Blake Bortles. I wasn't a part of that. RG3 was definitely contemplating his broadcast career. You know, Colin Kaepernick's been out of the league, and then you possibly had – I mean, that's it. I mean, that's pretty much all the free agent quarterbacks. So I guess out of that pack, you this is who you get. And I wasn't too crazy enthused with AJ McCarron. He didn't play that well. And Felipe Franks is definitely not ready. He's going to be on the practice squad. So we're kind of back at that, you know, and I'll let you guys comment. It's kind of tough because as a Falcon fan, we're like, damn, you know, did we kind of screw up not getting Justin Fields? I mean, I don't know, man. I know Kyle was the guy, but it's just like, you know, it would have been good to kind of have that already sewn up, if you will. I mean, we gotta, you know, we can't talk about what could have, should have been, but it's just like, we're like, you know, that would have been an easier fit to have a guy David groom than kind of like picking kind of leftovers, if you will. And I know we're kind of scour who's getting cut from whatever, but I don't know, gentlemen. I'm kind of at a loss, if you will.
You know, Jim Marr Jr., I clearly remember this. He was a college football broadcaster, and obviously you know him from his time with Atlanta. When Josh Rosen was in college at UCLA, Jim Marr Jr., you know, he told the world on national TV, he says, I don't think this guy is going to cut it in the NFL. And, you know, a lot of people were just scratching their heads. So, man, Josh Rosen got all the tools, man. What do you mean he's not going to cut it? And Jim Marr said he's not driven enough. And I think Jim Marr had him a little while at UCLA, too. He said he's just not driven enough. You know, he grew up with, you know, his parents had everything. So he didn't have to work hard for really anything. And Jim Marr said it. The guy's just not driven enough, you know, to be successful in the NFL. And, you know, and obviously he still got picked in the top 10 in the draft. But Jim Marr is one thing you got to give him. So far anyway, he was right on that. He told everybody on national TV, you know, I just don't think this guy's going to cut it in the NFL. And so far he's been right. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. And what's amazing to me is that he's young, and I get it. But, man, how many dudes get to play for 5 teams in 4 years? I mean, this is last stop saloon for him, right? Unless he goes to the CFL or one of those startup leagues and lights it up and gets another chance through that avenue. He's definitely, we keep saying it, but I mean, I just don't know how, if he doesn't make it here in Atlanta, how another team still looks at him as being a viable option. So, you already said it. You know it. Kyle Pitts was always a luxury pick, and now it's biting him with the injuries that happen in football. So, you know, Kyle Pitts might make you feel better about him when we start seeing real games. We'll see. Who knows? But it would have been a lot easier to have that guy in the building that you could say you're going to try to build around for the next 10 years, and now you have to worry about this. So we'll see. It's crazy. I saw that and was like, wow, 5 teams in 4 years. That's how many dudes get that chance at any position?
Yeah. But that being said, if Matt Ryan is healthy, you got to think Ryan is at least a top 10 or top 12 QB in the league still, or top 15 at worst. If he's healthy. But, you know, obviously if he's not healthy, then you're in trouble if you got to go to Josh Rosen or Felipe Franks.
Felipe Franks is not the answer, guys.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they even have Felipe Franks on the thing. Like, y'all signed him in Florida. You signed him in Arkansas, right? Y'all decided to put that dude on the team for what? But, sorry, I've never been a Felipe Franks.
Maybe they're going to use him like Taysom Hill.
Oh, my God.
That's Troy. Taysom Hill's a big dude.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's a statement that Rob has ever made when he said, you know, do you want it enough?
Yeah.
Are you hungry? And, you know, for me, it reminds me of childhood and me noticing that the NFL has so many black players. And the reason why it's kind of a black sport is because there are a bunch of kids that want that so much. They want that for their families. They want that for getting out of their situation. They want that. And that is a huge part of how football players play. It's huge. And that's something you got to tap into. You want to tap into.
Yeah, you're right. And just the last statement about that, too, just to – I know JQ's love and disdain for Felipe Franks, Robin, and it's messed up because, you know, I was looking at – you know, obviously watching the game, and he was right because Felipe, he just – took a safety, just looked very confused, and I'm pretty sure Arthur Smith has a pretty easy offense, you know. Not easy, but you know what I'm saying, as far as a couple reads, and you clearly thought he was not ready. So the we talk about the worst thing actually going down is that, and I wasn't a fan of A.J. McCarron either, but I'm just saying, you know, they figured to get this guy, we're probably going to draft another dude. But you didn't have anyone else dressed out for that game. So you basically had Ryan wasn't dressed, you had A.J., and you had Felipe Franks. Which, to my knowledge, you still need to have three quarterbacks at least dressed. So that was a mistake right there. So once the thing was done, we're like, what? This is Felipe Franks that run this? That was a huge mistake. You got to have at least three quarterbacks in camp, at least. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I'm not just talking to Matt Ryan. Four, if you kind of like, because Felipe is going to the practice squad. That's he is not ready to play. So now you gotta kind of scramble, and Josh is gonna, you know, whatever he can do, and then now, I mean, hell, are we looking at a Spencer Rattler sweepstakes next year, or the Kevon? You know, I don't even know anymore, man. It's kind of frustrating, man, because something happens to Matt Ryan, damn, shit is over. It is a sinking ship.
And
man,
I don't think Spencer Rattler and that kid from North Carolina, I think it's the other one, are as good as the backs that came out this year. I don't. Maybe they'll show me something this year. But I don't think those two are as good as that batch that came out this year in the first round. I really don't.
Not better than Justin Fields?
Yeah.
No?
Matt Ryan hasn't played in any of the preseason games yet, right?
No, he's going to play on the last one for Cleveland. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
yeah. So
none of the Smith has up the sleeve.
I mean, he hasn't even showed you anything with Matt Ryan yet. So you
we
still
know.
Don't
know
what he
we
has
know.
Up the sleeve.
That's the saving grace, Rod. We don't know.
I would put Matt Ryan in mothballs. That's crazy. You going to play this weekend? Wow. Listen, I would take my lumps with him being rusty in quarter one or week one. But if that dude gets any sort of a nick when you already have lost A.J. McCarron, you're going to be back up and you have to get Josh Rosen. I mean, listen, I would put that dude in a bubble for the next 10 days. I wouldn't let Matt Ryan even get close to a football field. No.
Yep. I kind of feel the same way with the Saints. I don't even want to see him play Jameis Winston this weekend. I'm like, okay, we saw enough.
You've seen enough.
Yeah.
You know what you got in that guy.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Oh, boy. Hey, Rob, let's talk about the fantasy football update. I know we've had some big things. There's been some talk about the ACC, Big Ten, Big and the Pac-12 having an alliance. It's going to be interesting as far as that. We can touch base on that, if you will. I know we've got like less than 7 minutes for the show, but I definitely want to talk about some fantasy football stuff, and we can move some stuff obviously to next week too if needed, Rob. So go ahead.
Yeah, just a reminder for our competitors obviously out there, we've had two fantasy drafts for the Talking Sports League so far. We got another draft tomorrow night, I believe it's 7:15 Eastern, and then we have our last fantasy Talking Sports draft on Thursday night. I think that one is 7:15 p.m. As well. So looking forward to competing as we're just a couple of weeks away from the start of the NFL season, last preseason week this week.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this thing is gone by so fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
This month of years, guys, we're already in the eighth month of the year, and it's nuts. Do you want to talk about there's a couple of things that we want to jump into. I know there's some interesting notes about certain stadiums, certain teams requiring either a vaccine or a negative COVID test. LSU is one of them. Georgia, again, in our backwards ways, have pretty much said, nope, you can still come in. So we'll talk about that. Stanford State's like, yeah, we can give it
to you. Next to Louisiana,
no sense,
not
man.
Happy, I can tell you that. I've been already seeing some of the comments.
Louisiana had a lot of cases, though. Louisiana has some high cases, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we get that, you know, and you know, we can understand that. But I guess we'll talk about this alliance real quick between ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. This is pretty interesting, too. I'm going to let you guys comment on that, JQ, if you will, and let Rob, and then we'll kind of circle back and wrap up the show, if you will, too, which is what we're going to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we all know it's just in response to Texas, Oklahoma going to the SEC, and the other one's looking around instead of saying, you know, instead of trying to, you know, raid each other and kind of kill each other, trying to keep up with it, like, I'm going to take your school, I'm going to take yours. It's like, well, how can we work together to make us have, you know, more competitive balance, because, you know, if you get Texas, Oklahoma, and those brands are already going into the SEC, that's a major shot across the bow to everybody else. And if, even if you're not an SEC fan, you got to recognize that you got to do something in response to that. Are they going to get the second and third and fourth team in over you if you, you know, if you're playing Rutgers in Maryland instead of playing Oregon and USC if you get a chance, or Clemson and Notre Dame, you know what I mean? So you got to have that, that schedule. It's going to make your schedule harder, but if you run that gauntlet, it's going to be harder for the college football community to leave you out of it. But the thing about it, people also have to recognize is that it's probably not going to happen for a couple of years, because you've got all these home at homes that are already scheduled out 4, 5, 6 years in advance. So they're not a whole bunch of open dates unless they just decide to pay those small schools the money to get out of it to book a bigger game. So it's got a lot of stuff to work out logistic-wise. And the last piece for me about it is that definitely, to me, puts the death knell into the Big 12. Because instead of saying, hey, let's go get these teams and everybody just do their own thing, you take these couple, we'll take these couple, they was like, nah, we don't even want these sorry bastards. We'll just do something amongst ourselves, and we'll just let them figure out what they're going to do on their own. That's what I read into it. We don't even want them to make us better. We'll just work together as conferences and just let them do whatever it is they're going to do. So that's tough for the Big 12. I think they're going bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, you know the Pac-12 commissioner, George, I think I can't remember his last name, Klafnoff or something like that, the Pac-12 commissioner, you know, he's made it known. He says, we have not made a final decision on expansion. And he said by the end of this week, you may hear something of us possibly expanding. So I don't think it's all said and done that they're not going to get any of those Pac-12 teams. So it's going to be really interesting. Most experts think this is going to be the last year of the Big 12 as we know it. We know Texas and Oklahoma, as of now, scheduled to leave in 2025. Just about all the experts think that they're going to be gone next year, that something's going to be worked out, and that this is the last year of the Big 12 as we know it, and that the Big 12 will be gone. This conference will be totally gone, and I think that might have a little bit more to do with them not being a part of it. But these teams, the 8 teams that are left on the Big 12 are going to disperse. Some might go to the Pac-12, some might go to the Big 10, some might go to the ACC, some might be stuck with the AAC, right, or even independent. So it's going to be interesting to see. But most of the experts believe that this is going to be the last year of the Big 12 as we know it. And, you know, obviously the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, he's a big proponent of going to the 12-team playoffs. And obviously he is, with the SEC getting bigger, right? You know, when you're going to have the likes of Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Georgia, Florida. I mean, you're going to give him a chance to get 3 or 4 teams possibly in the playoffs. But surprisingly, the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC alliance, it seems like most of them are on the same page with expanding the playoffs too, which I thought they were going to be against it. But, you know, early reports are that a lot of them are kind of in favor of it too. So it's going to be really interesting. Well, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We're probably going to have a brief OT portion here for you and talk a little bit more about these topics. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12 Man. I believe if we're all in agreement, we're going to go on Monday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends in Portland and Seattle and Los Angeles and, of course, Fresno. We can't leave y'all out, of course. So you definitely want to join us on Monday night. We're going to start the week off for you guys on next week, so you definitely don't want to miss it. Stay tuned for a brief OT portion. Good night, people.
See, Rob always throws in Fresno just to make me laugh, because he's going to start cracking up when you start dropping Fresno on me. But to your point about the Pac-12 and making that doing it, I think a lot of that also is negotiation tactics, right? Like, if you don't want to do this alliance with me, then maybe I'll go sit down and we figure something out. I don't really want to do that, and maybe that's only ACC and the Big Ten to try to call their bluff, or say, we'll get some of them and we'll come out to some of yours if you don't play ball with us. So I think some of that is just a little bit of a negotiating ploy by the Pac-12, but you got to give them credit. They said the Pac-12 has been leading this charge for the alliance and getting the Big Ten and the ACC on board with it. So the Pac-12 is definitely trying to get themselves back in. And remember, they haven't really made the college football playoff for years now. So they're trying to get over that hump and come through this a lot stronger. So, you know, you got to give them credit for that. And somewhat with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they already have that Rose Bowl alliance together anyway. So they're kind of a natural partner. And I think part of them is that, you know, they got to be careful of the Big Ten because the Big Ten got money. And they just have to come calling and go raise and try to go coast to coast with the conference. That might be appealing to some of those schools that are looking at the Pac-12 not making the college football playoff, but watching the Big Ten make it with teams. So who knows? I think they're supposed to make an announcement tomorrow, I think it was, at 2? They were supposed to have a press conference?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's I guess we'll get more information tomorrow than when they come out with the press conference.
Yeah. I guess the question is, what happens to those 8 schools in the Big 12, right? If the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12, I mean, do they stand alone as a conference, or do they just go somewhere like AAC? I mean, because when you look at the remaining 8 schools, I mean, you look at a school like Oklahoma State. I mean, the Pac-12 has got schools like Arizona and Arizona State in the conference. Is Oklahoma State just as good or better than those schools? In my opinion, yes. And, you know, you look at the Big Ten. You got schools like Minnesota and Illinois. Is Oklahoma State just as good or better than those schools? Yeah.
Kansas is going to be the one.
Which one?
Kansas is going to be the apple of the eye. I think it's going to be Kansas is going to be the apple of the eye. And does Kansas care about taking anybody with them? Or does the conference say, hey, to make the divisions even, we'll take you and Oklahoma State? The people that are in trouble are the Kansas State. Iowa State might be a Big Ten, you know, go there because then you can have an Iowa State natural rivalry in the Big Ten. But like TC, like Baylor and Texas Tech, them boys in trouble. They in trouble.
Hey, the only thing that Baylor and Texas Tech have going for them is that they are in Texas. And that just kind of opens them up for them. That's the only thing they may have going for them. But,
that's a natural in money, too. Yeah.
But, I mean, even from the ACC standpoint, you look at a school like West Virginia, right?
Kansas City.
You look at, you know, if you compare them to some other schools, I mean, Chuck, you got Duke. I mean, I know Duke is a basketball power, but they don't bring nothing to the table from football. And, you know, West Virginia would definitely be a team that would be better than a Duke, you know, possibly better than Louisville and schools like Syracuse. So, I mean, I guess to me, those schools still bring something to the table. West Virginia Pittsburgh was a huge rivalry for a long time in football. If you guys remember.
Major Harris,
Major Harris, you gotta believe it. So I mean, they are still a few. I mean, is it going to bring the impact that Texas and Oklahoma brings? Absolutely not, right? But you know, to me, there's still a few intrigue out of some of these schools that are left. So, to me, it's still very intriguing to see what happens to the other 8, the others, who we're going to call them.
And I'm going to add Curtis, too, because Curtis, I think it took a matchup, because, you know, what if you want to have, like, a USC and, like, a Clemson, or, like, you know, Oregon versus, you know, Ohio State, something like that. You have some interesting matchups, you know, kind of West Coast, you know, East Coast, too, so you never think of what something like that, like Miami, and you know, you bring back the old school Miami USC. You know, there's some interesting matchups. You know, Miami Ohio State. Yeah. There's some good old school matchups that you may want to look into, if you will, too, right?
Michigan USC.
It's gonna be very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Michigan USC too.
Well,
yeah, go ahead, Curtis. Yeah.
No, but I want to say is what I'm afraid of is this again, the business side of the sports team. And, you know, there's a fear that football is going to turn regional. And the rest of the regions are not going to be so interested. And that's going to be a big loss. So this realignment and the future, which I can't predict, but it's kind of like it's going to turn into what's the big three in America? Google, Apple, and Walmart. What's the three biggest airlines? United, Delta, and I can't think of the other one. And this is what I'm afraid of, that they're turning our sport and the consumerism and kind of shortening it, kind of condensing it. And that's ugly. And but it's a business decision, and it's a money grab, and it's ugly.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. But out here, the Boise States, the Utahs, all them, you guys will probably never see them. Fresno State, those kind of teams. Oregon State, you probably won't see them out there in the east, but they'll still have their little region of business and like that. That's what I see in the Midwest, the Kansas State, Butler, you know, whatever these little small things are doing. But what I also hope is they also figure out how to go into that same playoff that the real colleges are doing. You know, the Portland States and the Manitoba States and the North Dakota States. They play in a playoff all across the country that works for them. And I would like the NCAA to figure out how to do that, how to get all these teams around the country to be in a playoff for the one big one. But I think the big colleges are going to be like the master football, or the shortcut to the NFL. Farm teams for the NFL coming out of the big colleges. There's something going on here that I think we don't understand. These big schools might turn into farm teams for the NFL. Something is going on.
Yeah, maybe they already are.
And I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this, you know, reading the details of this alliance, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the ACC would drop down to 8 conference games from 9 to open it up in an additional. So they're not talking about one interconference game. They're possibly talking about two, you know, and then maybe having one or two cupcakes on their schedule. So, I mean, you could see the Georgia, you know, for Andre's sake, Georgia Tech, you know, they would play 8 conference games and then 2 non-conference games, maybe one against the Big Ten and one against the Pac-12. So you could see a Georgia Tech Oregon matchup or a Georgia Tech Minnesota matchup or something like that. Same thing with Ohio State. You know, you could see the Ohio State Oregon, which we're already going to see this year.
Yeah.
Then you might can see, you know, I don't think Ohio State will schedule Oregon and a Clemson, but maybe an Oregon and a, you know, Louisville or something like that. You know, something that's close to Ohio, right? Yeah, yeah. And so you'll see those kind of matchups.
Miami, if you want to. Yeah.
Remember
that Ohio State, and I hope that doesn't bring back bad memories to JQ with Maurice Claret.
Yeah.
Versus Miami.
No,
that was just like
why.
A classic. I know, but that was just interesting.
Yeah,
you know, he had obviously, what's his name? Wilson McGahee. Oh, my God. You know, that was just that powerhouse Miami team. And just, you know, you feel
like
he was
coming
with
Detroit
at his
knee.
Yeah, but it's just like you said, Rob, I definitely agree. Hopefully you'll get some interesting matchups. Maybe you develop some things. I'm kind of curious, like you said, Rob, about Kansas, because Kansas can bring a lot basketball-wise. I know everyone may not, you know, agree with certain things, but that's something to think about too, even though I hate losing that natural rivalry with them in Kansas State. So you got to figure out how does that play out, because you want to keep those natural kind of rivalries going too. Like you said, you know, without, you know, obviously Ohio State and Ohio, that's kind of a good matchup too. Michigan, Michigan State, those are good rivalries within those natural conferences,
yeah,
too. But it does add some intrigue money-wise and kind of how that positions, you know, as far as those matchups too. Like you said, having a Georgia Tech go and play this, and, you know, do you want to see a USC play Clemson? Little things like that. I think it's going to be exciting for the fans.
Nah, it'd be Georgia Tech or Stanford. It'd be the Nerd Bowl.
Don't talk about us, man. Hey, I know you want to keep throwing some sling and some dirt, JQ, and hopefully I am pretty intrigued with.
You know they would do it. Georgia Tech, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Northwestern. Student doesn't know how to narrow classic.
Georgia Tech, UCLA.
We already play Northwestern on the 4th. But Stanford, don't sleep on Stanford now, because that's we're playing them on the 4th, actually, Northwestern. Yeah. So,
wow.
Okay.
See,
but,
that's what I'm talking about. Nerd Bowl. See, they was already ahead of me. I'm just messing with you, Trey.
It's all good, bro. You know, I'm kind of surprised with the recruits that Jeff Collins is getting too. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, we're getting some pretty good recruits, man. I mean, we're definitely not there yet too, because Clemson definitely owns the state. But I think that's who Jeff Collins said. If why not us? Why not us too, man? We'll see how they can play out. And keep on talking, you know, about us nerds, man. We're gonna figure out a way to make it happen, man. It's all good.
Oh man,
so,
man, I thought you were about to pull a Shikari. Talk all that shit you want.
I thought about it, but I was like, I don't know. I really did think about that. I thought about it. I say that
in jest, but they do that. You know those schools that are like super, like crazy, top 1%, 2% in terms of academics, they gonna find a way to play each other so they can have the bragging rights outside of the academic piece of it. That's going to happen. I don't think the Pac-12 would give up a chance to play at Clemson, Ohio State, and Michigan to play Georgia Tech. At least not initially, because they're going to want that super marquee matchup. So you're going to have tiers to it. So I think you would put a Stanford and Georgia Tech on the same tier, and they would probably play. I mean, I was messing with you, but I think that's probably how they would. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to give them that game. You want to give those tier one teams to play each other so that whoever wins that conference can have a better chance at the college football playoff.
Yeah. Watch Mac Brown in North Carolina, though, man. He is recruiting his ass off in North Carolina. And, man, yeah, he's got, you know, in the next couple of years, he's already got some top-of-the-line recruits lined up in 2022 and 2023, too. And so, yeah.
Yes, good recruits, too, damn it. Come on. I'm definitely, I'm used to getting shit from all the Georgia fans. I mean, I get that, you know, so it's like, come on, man, I need to have a team space. Now, we're not, are we like Clemson? Absolutely not, but come on, we're going to keep climbing, you know, so I can't wait for the day that I can shove into everyone's face like I told y'all so. I'm just saying, but the top class that I know, like JQ's back there last, and we're not Ohio State, sure, we can't get that yet, but one of our top classes when we had, you know, Donovan Dwyer, we had Derek Morgan, that was actually whenever Jeff Collins was a graduate assistant, so that was a really great class. Now, is that, you know, bragging rights? Absolutely not, but at least you saw how he brought a lot of good recruits to that particular class, so he's doing the same thing too with Jahmyr Gibbs. Jeff Sims is kind of doing this thing. We're getting a lot of recruits from Florida. So we're kind of like, okay, we see you, Jeff Collins. So, again, are we like up there, LSUs and Georgias and Ohio State's? Not yet, but we're slowly getting there. That's all I'm going to say. Show us some respect a little bit.
H-O-T. That's hot, boy. That floor. You are so easy, Dre. Oh, my gosh, you're so easy. Come on, man, let's go to sleep. You can't even go to sleep now. You got to walk around. You got to take the dog for a walk. cussing at the lamppost.
Hey, we need to hit the record button.
JQ is talking about my Jordan State Yellow Jacket. Come be over
there. I'm saying, y'all is be sitting on us, man. I mean, y'all got all the championships. I'm the one that's like, man, you know, I'm trying to, like, hold my own, man. I mean, at least y'all got something. And then y'all get mad whenever I like freaking Golden State. So I get one damn school that – or one damn team that does something.
Yeah,
come on, man. I just like the Hawks. Like, I don't know, I like the Hawks. I just do. I'm here. I like the Dogs and shit. Jordan Tech, you know. And then
Hawks was the
I got nothing, man. You know.
Hey,
but I'm saying it's all good. We haven't won nothing.
Well, sucks. Look at my Pelicans. I got a team
but I'm just saying,
Rob,
you got damn
LSU. I mean, we all got.
He's got Ohio State. JQ's got Ohio State. He's got the Lakers. They've won. You know what I'm saying? You got the damn Yankees, Rob. So it's like whenever I get one team that it's like sort of good, y'all want to sit there and shit on me. And I'm like, can I get one?
We didn't even bring that up for being, you know, I understand.
Can I get one?
Hey,
we didn't even bring that up.
We didn't even bring that up. We didn't even bring that up. 1990, man. You want to change the career with Sean Jones as quarterback?
How long ago was that, bro? That's like the Cowboys. They won in the 90s, too. Come on. Sorry.
Uh-oh,
sorry,
bro. Yeah, see, yeah. It's just, okay.
We did win, but I'm saying. But I'm just saying. Something relevant. Something that's relevant. Yeah, we had the freaking, we went to whenever we had Kenny Anderson. That was awesome. But damn, we didn't win. Come on, man. I'm just saying.
Hey, Paul Hewitt took it to the final four, too.
That's what I said. I just said that. That was a long time ago. Kenny Anderson. Oh, man, I was in high school.
No, Kenny Anderson, what we're called here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm not hot. I'm just saying, again, JQ, it was definitely a trigger. I'm just saying, just like show us some love, you know, at least, you know,
you're
not nerve-based.
You think it was
come
a trigger?
On,
yeah, it definitely was a trigger. It just went off.
That's the word of
sure
the
we're
day.
Not Ohio State.
I didn't say that.
I'm not mad at you. I was just faithless. No, I'm really not mad.
I know you're not mad, but note to self, do not ever bring up the nerve ball ever again.
Love
that. Well, you are...
Oh my goodness gracious, come on man, I'm not saying that you are angry, but
you did go off a little bit though. You went off a little bit. You brought in Golden State. Nobody even went to basketball. You Golden State in there.
Well, I was just saying, like, all the teams that I like, out of all the teams that I like, unfortunately, none of them have been like champion, like past, you know, like said, yeah, Jordan Tech, we got that.
Hey,
you know, granted, Hawks have won a damn championship since like the 60s, you know.
I don't hate Georgia Tech, man. So just so you know, I think I even
me either.
Georgia Tech socks or something too. But
yeah,
I ain't gonna lie, I hate
Golden
State.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's fine. But I'm saying, like,
I was a fan of the Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott, and who was the other guy? Bruce Dalrymple? Who else?
Brian Oliver.
Brian Oliver. Man, I was
Dennis
a fan
Scott,
of that team.
Brian Oliver. Yeah, it was great. Call. Great squad.
Yeah.
Great squad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was a fan of when they won the national championship.
I hope they beat Georgia every year.
A quarterback.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to get, like, I'm just saying, too, it just seems like, I'm like, man, we got to – We're kind of like we're not good enough or we're not quite bad enough. We're trying to like get you know get some good recruits in here. We're making a try. Are we the Mac Browns? Not yet. But you know I kind of see and this. I can't wait for that because I know that Jeff Collins is a huge circle on Clemson. If not them, can it be us? That's all I'm trying to say. And you know hopefully we'll get there.
Hey,
you know third year has
never been
for
a
sure.
time when Georgia Tech has played Georgia that I rooted for the Bulldogs. Never.
Correct. Not a time. Not one.
I do not like. Man, you know.
Not eight times.
I say what I want to say, but man, I get tired of them dogs. I get tired of hearing that mess.
Yeah.
Like,
So do I. Yeah.
Who are you telling?
But like I said, in that comment, JQ was like a trigger for what the Georgia Bulldogs would say. Like, oh, look at the Bears over there. It's like little brother, you know, always trying to like beat up on the big guys too. So they don't really take it seriously. So eventually, you can't really say that. Like, all right, we're gonna get you next year. They got us by the, you know, whatever. So we trying to like eventually make it sort of. A battle. Sorry, Chris, we don't want to hold on a tangent here, but, you know, it's all good. Let's wrap up the show, guys, you know, because apparently JQ is getting really all hot over there, so we got to calm down him and everything like that. So.
Oh, no, I'm laughing. I don't think anybody listening to the show is going to come to that conclusion. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I'm assuming we'll be wrapping it up. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another great edition. You all got to see Andre fired up, and he's always entertaining when he's fired up. So, you know, that's great entertainment for our audience, so we appreciate that, Dre. So stay tuned for Monday night. You may get some more of Dre shenanigans on Monday night, so you definitely want to tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we'll try to see if we can get Dre fired up again for you on Monday night of next week. So you don't want to miss it, people. We're going to have some fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know when you start cussing, you get fired up. Boy, when you start cussing on you, you know you're hot. You know, you don't cuss and get fired up. Let's keep it going on Monday. Let's do it.
Yeah. To our listeners out there, if you can only see this video reactions, too.
All right, Dre, go ahead. What you doing, man?
Maybe I can do on Monday. So I'll give it
Monday night next week, people. We're coming in. We're going to start the week off right for you, people.
Oh, my gosh. We'll see if Lou finds us and calls in. He'll probably find us on Monday. Hey, you guys see the show? be good. Get some rest, guys.
All right, man. Talk to y'all, buddy, fellas.
Yeah, there's new.